And it reminds me, I just wish, I would love to for them to bring back, like, the Ninja Gaiden, the Bayonetta, the Devil May Cry. I'd like to see those types of games come back, because hey, they were the
Final Fantasy 16, baby.
Or not. I knew that shit was coming. I knew it was coming. I'd love to see those game franchises come back specifically as those types of games.
Poggers. Welcome, everybody. Episode 201 of Thought Patrol Podcast. We have returned yet again. It is me and Sean hanging out. Glad to come talk with you guys. Chill for a bit. Talk about some shit that's been going on. And move on forward. So, Sean, you and me are here. Now, we have been, I don't know if you've done anything else, but we've been playing a little game. So you guys may have not heard of it. It's a little niche, you know, kind of out there. I haven't really heard a lot of people talking about it, but Elden Ring. We've been playing some Elden Ring. So as someone that I know you've played Bloodborne, but you really haven't dipped into much of the Dark Souls games in general. What are your first impressions on Elden Ring being the most recent entry, even though it's not necessarily a titled mainline entry, but just an entry into Dark Souls? What's your thoughts on Elden Ring so far?
I don't know. They seem to, like, that and the Souls games were like fantasy, whereas Bloodborne was supposed to be kind of Cthulhu adjacent horror. And there seems to be some speed differences between some of the games. Like some of the, like Bloodborne's like ass slow. Like it's much more plotting than the others, whereas Sekiro is faster.
Yes, I'd say Sekiro is probably the fastest that FromSoft has designed for their games.
I really enjoyed Sekiro. I also enjoyed Sekiro because it didn't feel like I was playing a horror game. And as much as I love horror games, I think the challenge idea of it's very familiar to me in terms of, in 8-bit challenge games, it's all pixel placement. It's all exactly what it's like, standing in the exact right place, doing the exact right attack. That's why Ninja Gaiden and Castlevania were such good games for me to play, especially Castlevania, because everything's placement and knowing when to jump and when not to and what attacks to use. And then when I played the old Ninja Gaiden games, the Devil May Cry, Bayonetta, those were like faster paced versions of the Souls-like games.
Yeah.
They can be extremely challenging as well, but they're more reflexes and moving really fast. And there's a slightly different kind of feel and mentality and meta to those types of games.
It's a different difficulty. It's difficulty like rooted in a different type of the way you interact with the game.
Yeah. And those are more my style. You know, like both games are you throwing yourself at a wall until you figure out how to hit the cracks just right to where the wall falls down.
Yeah.
As much as I love the horror aspect, and they're just all horror games. Even Sekiro had parts where you were like, it felt less like a samurai fantasy. They're more like a horror game.
Yeah, they're very dark. And a lot of the themes, the enemy designs, it's very like, there's a meme that a lot of people like to say is like, you're not playing Dark Souls if you're not saying like, what the fuck is this every couple minutes, right? Like you're always running to some kind of ungodly fucking creation that was birthed out of some 5'8" Japanese dude that looks like he wouldn't hurt a fly. And the fucking Junji Ito head ass, right? Like, and designs these monstrosities. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then every other person you meet is doomed in some way or another. There's no happiness in these games. It's always...
I admit that...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would have liked... I didn't mean to... I'm sorry. I'm not...
No, you're good.
My brain's not entirely braining today. I would have liked to have seen a more balanced world come out of FromSoft, because it's always some broken, horrific monstrosity of a world. It's always horror world. Just... So the setting might change, but it's still a fucking horror game. And this feels the same way. It's another grimdark, and it's horrific. And as much as I adore Grimdark, and as I may not have experienced, I've only experienced three FromSoft games, and of which I've only played a significant chunk of one. I mean, I played up to a certain part of Bloodborne, but I'm not very far in there. I didn't even leave that city yet. And I've played more of Elden Ring than I have the others. But I like the gameplay. I mean, I don't feel like anything's ridiculously impossible, although I don't really... I've had enough assistance with bosses, but I've only killed one boss of my own, and some of them just seem impossible.
Yeah, a lot of the challenge of the game with the aspect and how it's designed is self-imposed. So it's, like we said, it's bashing your head against the wall. It's how willing are you to go at it with, like, your fists compared to going out and finding some tools to make getting through that wall a bit easier. And that's whether that's going somewhere else and exploring, leveling, finding weapons. But the game's very, very designed in a way where you traverse in the way the game tells you to go. Until, unless you just want to explore, but a lot of people will traverse the way the game tells you to go until you hit what I consider to be like walled bosses. So you'll walk into a boss that's, you do like 30 damage to him, you're ticking 1/100th of their health bar every hit, and they hit you for 80% of your health bar. So it's basically the game telling you, like, hey, this boss should be returned to later. And then depending on how much you want to self-impose the challenge on yourself to continue bashing your head against that wall, compared to going to find a pickaxe somewhere else in the world by leveling up and doing other things, it brought up a very interesting conversation I actually had with Alex with the way the game is designed while we were streaming it one night, because idea, I guess, that floats around the community for Dark Souls that they're very pushy with how you should play the game. Now, this is obviously the online community, and the online community, as we know, almost never represents the community as a whole. It's usually a very vocal minority that talks, and these are circles you engage with. So I'm not going to sit here and generalize the whole community into one thing, but a lot of the interaction and discourse I've seen online with Dark Souls styles games is, if you're not doing full strength melee and making the game as hard as you can on yourself, level one with a stick, killing every boss in the game, no hit, you can't use electricity, you got to blindfold yourself, make sure you're on your head and your controller's not plugged in. That's the only way you can play Dark Souls. It just tends to be like, this is like an overbearing response that the community has to anyone. So if you do any type of assistance that exists in the game for a reason, it's designed to be put in the game for people to use it and stuff. If you're not operating in any sense, like the moment you have any sort of assistance, whether you bring a friend in, use one of the spirit ashes to summon an NPC, summon actual NPCs. The moment you start doing all that, make it easier. For some reason, the community is like, "Oh, you're not playing the game right. You're not doing how it's intended to be played, or you're not having fun." I'm telling you, you're not having fun, right? You're not having fucking fun. The community is very fucking religiously like pushy when it comes to that shit. It's very fucking weird. But I think that's just kind of based on the way the games are usually played, that, I don't know. Some people like that. My favorite part about these games, Sean, is not the sitting on one boss for 35 hours trying to get through them and memorizing the frame data of every single attack they commit to, so that you can be within a cunt's hair of a dodge from your ending your life. It's all about getting insanely fucking OP and trivializing the game to shit. That's my favorite part of Dark Souls. And the thing that makes Dark Souls different from like Bloodborne or some of their other offshoots like Sekiro is that Dark Souls, as their mainline, has always had the greatest opportunity and the highest ceiling to commit to that. They always have some insanely busted bullshit you run into in Dark Souls. That's a different story when it comes to the PvP, because every once in a while you'll come across an asshole that is abusing that and makes things difficult. But at least in Elden Ring, you can only get invaded if you're playing with someone else. So it makes it a little bit more fun. You're not getting endlessly invaded if you're playing by yourself, which I appreciate. You can also always play offline too, but it's nice that they have that as a system. And if you want to go PvP, you can seek it out and go invade other people's worlds. But yeah, it's always that to when you're getting to that point where the boss that had given you trouble in the past, you can down in 5 seconds. That shit is where my dick gets hard. The pre-cum accumulates and we just go to town. That's my favorite part. And I'm excited to see you get to that point where we're all settled in our weird builds and niches that we found or discovered or respect into. And we're all doing our own thing and just murking the bosses. That shit's fun as fuck. Lucky for you, the build you're working towards has one of the strongest fucking weapons in the game, which is the Rivers of Blood. Insanely OP-ass weapon. So, but yeah, I 100% get what you're saying. I think it would be interesting if there was a more lighthearted approach to a Dark Souls game in the future. I don't know how much the community would like, because again, any change, you're not a Puritan, you're against the design philosophy, against everything. And I get that, because I was that way with the open world. And to a degree, I still think the open world aspect in Elden Ring kind of takes away from a bit of what Dark Souls is. But they did a really good job of still creating insanely well-polished and well-thought-out and interconnected areas on this big map. It's really well-designed. So they did an incredibly good job. If anyone could do it, it would be FromSoft. But there still is a lot of area in between where it's just flatland. You're moving into this next massively well-designed interconnected area. And I get it. It's not like the whole map's going to be one giant fucking maze of interconnectedness. It'd take forever. It'd take longer than it fucking takes to create Star Citizen. So I get it, but it's just there's no point for all the flat area. One cool thing, they're able to achieve the scale that they do, and the scale in the game is incredibly impressive. Some of the cities you'll go to, the capital looks awesome, and everything's massive. Some scenes almost feel like you're playing fucking Shadow of the Colossus or some shit. Like, you have these insanely... None of the enemies ever really get to that size, because this game's engine, it just doesn't work with massive enemies. Some of the structures and stuff feel like that size. It's kind of cool, especially on your fucking horse and all that stuff. Sorry for that torrent. Or that torrent. I was thinking about the horse. Sorry for that tangent. But yeah, is there anything else? I know we haven't played a lot together, and sometimes when we do get together to play, it's not working half the fucking time. But
another problem I noticed is that their shit's like really kind of broken.
It's so fucking shit. I don't know what. Now, the only other time that I've invested a lot of time into multiplayer in these games is Dark Souls 2 and 3, and that was well past the whatever prime time that they experienced. Like, we played Dark Souls 3 well after it released. We played Dark Souls 2 well after it released. It was actually the remaster that was when we played Dark Souls 2. I haven't touched Dark Souls 1 or Demon's Souls, but I've watched people play them. And Bloodborne was also something that when I finally got into the multiplayer a bit and I had other people to play with, it was well past when the game released. So this is like the first Dark Souls game, technically, I've played on launch and attempted to do stuff with the service on launch. And lo and behold, it's the most fucking... insanely successful one they've had. So they had literally on Steam alone had at some point close to 1 million concurrent users, which is fucking insane. Oh, excuse me. Holy shit. So I can see like the first couple weeks it being problematic. And even now, 2 months in, we're still seeing between 200 and 300,000 people playing concurrently, which is a certain amount of hours every day, or a couple, I don't know exactly what kind of parameters they exist within, but they're active users, not people that have opened it once and haven't touched it in a week. These are people that play on a regular basis as a concurrent user. So I can see the servers taking a hit, managing all those things, but man, it's so fucking annoying with how archaic their multiplayer is designed, and it hasn't been really majorly adjusted in a long fucking time. It works the same way it's worked almost since it was introduced into this series, which blows my mind. Now, they're working on larger areas you get summoned to, but it's still practically the same system. They've made little changes here and there to adjust the way the system works, whether or not it needs a resource to work, or whether or not it's freely accessible, how you get into it, or what items you may need or not need, whatever. But it's still archaic as fuck. I would like, and it bothers me because I enjoy these games together. Hell, Sean's playing it just to play with us so we could all play together, because it's not a game he would play on his own. And I agree. Most of my time in Elden Ring, the 95-something hours I've spent, have been with someone else in my world. I have had some times where I've farmed or done whatever else to work towards a build or some shit, but for the most part, the majority of the playing has been with other people. So, yeah, I wished it fucking worked. Multiplayer kind of sucks dick. Servers are not good. Get disconnected often. I had one night I just had to give up. Like, every time I get summoned in, it'd be weak.
Sleaze has had to give up. Daedalus has had to give up. Like, people just get fucking exhausted from going through. You load out of your game, you load into the new game. That's how, depending on if the little symbol shows up so you can tag somebody in. Sometimes you have to fuck around for like 10 minutes to get that shit to show up. One time it took me 30 minutes to get fucking Tyler in. And then finally Tyler came in, you came in, he disconnected.
Yeah.
Like, it's frustrating. And like, I think the gameplay is fun. I like the design. I like the weapons so far. I like how they give you enough that you can figure out the system, but it's not handed to you. So you do have to pay attention to some things. I still think it's not rewarding to have to search out the main plot. Like, I think if you design a game, I think the main story of the game should be gift wrapped to the player, should be narrated to the player. All of the main story should be crystal clear. I don't mind if you have side stories a little less vague or secret quests that you have to figure out on your own, because that adds to replayability. It adds to that old sense of you go to school and you're on the playground and you're talking with your friends and they're like, shit, I found this out. Oh, well, I found this out. And then, like, it adds to that mystique, and it's fun to search for things. But to hide the story itself, the main open, obvious story behind having to read every item description and having, like, it's not fun, it's not creative, it's not interesting, it doesn't add to the mystique of the game. It's annoying, it's lazy, it's outdated, it was never a good design to begin with, and I feel like it's absurd, and I hate that part of the game. I loathe it, I detest it. That is probably the biggest reason why I have no interest in playing it by myself. It's just because, like, I get my value from running into a fight and taking something down with you guys. And right now, I'm a third of the way through the game and I'm still a little bitch. And I'm like level, I don't know, I'm like 80 or 90 or something like that. But I can see that I'm stronger now than I was 20 levels ago or 30 levels ago. I'm able to take down bigger and bigger enemies without assistance. I've fought a few bosses on my own without too much of a problem. It was a close fight. Like, it was usually I was down to my last health, or I'd just used my last health or whatnot. And it is rewarding, and I understand why it's rewarding, because I grew up on challenging games. And it reminds me, I would love for them to bring back, like, the Ninja Gaiden, the Bayonetta, the Devil May Cry. I'd like to see those types of games come back, because they were the
Final Fantasy 16, baby.
Or not. I knew that was shit. I knew it was coming. I'd love to see those game franchises come back specifically as those types of games. Or Gungrave, another one. Yeah. Although that one was easy. I'd like to see those come back, because those games are ultra challenging and super fun to play. But those games allowed you to select your challenge. So if you want to play something that's as hard, if not harder, than a lot of Dark Souls, put Devil May Cry on the hardest fucking difficulty you've got, like Dante Must Die, for instance.
Yeah.
And then enjoy the misery that is absolutely giving your ass handed to you over and over and over again. It's just the time to kill in Devil May Cry isn't, like, you really, they make you savor it. because you don't necessarily die as quickly. But you die just as brutally. Like, you try and hit it a few times. No, not even that, man. I remember in Cerberus, before I figured out the technique to fight Cerberus in Devil May Cry 3, he iced me relatively quickly.
Oh, yeah. It's that one mistake can immediately set you back.
Yeah, shit, Dante's less fragile. The characters in the Devil May Cry series are less fragile, so sometimes
I think the way you
take a beating,
yeah,
but you get to enjoy that beating because you're still not doing shit for damage. It just takes the enemy slightly longer to kill you.
It may also be like
one hit kills in this game.
Yeah, it may feel that way because you're a lot faster in those games, so you feel like you have more tools at your disposal. Dark Souls games are always it's you understanding the fight and what to do within it, right? And being able to react accordingly. It's a lot of the time, there'll be some instances where you're handling like threat priority and dealing with multiple issues at once. But 9 times out of 10, the hardest fights are you against a single entity or two entities in these games. And those entities
like
just
a bunch of dogs.
Yeah, sometimes you could get gangbanged by something.
Yeah,
right,
and you just can't deal with it. There's a lot of death by paper cuts if you're not careful.
Yeah, but a lot of what makes like the Devil May Cry Bayonetta games difficult is it's not just it's going into this arena and understanding what needs to be dealt with first. Like, what enemies have the highest priority? What's going to be ranged and fucking with you from a distance or buffing enemies or doing all this other stuff? It's like building a battleground that you have to almost look at from above and analyze how you're going to attempt that thing. You can't just wail on whatever's in front of you. And a lot of Dark Souls games, 9 times out of 10, you can just wail on what's in front of you. There's a lot of people have said a lot of times that a lot of these games are R1 simulators. You can light attack your way through fucking anything for the most part.
I never use heavy attack in that game. It takes too long. You get halfway into a swing and you're dead.
Well, it's just the idea that you just spam one attack because a lot of it is until you get to that fight where you have to time your dodges better and stuff. You can get through most of the game just spamming one attack usually.
Sure.
Yeah.
And like with Devil May Cry, it's only the bosses and sub bosses where you have to take a Dark Souls approach to combat. But even then, The key thing in Devil May Cry is master your movement. Because there's a lot of dodging, there's a lot of eye framing, there's a lot of knowing the arena, where you're running, where you can, maybe sometimes there's something that'll block things. Like, but you really don't, like the weak spots, etc. But in those games, there's an additional layer where you have to know your movesets. Because if you're trying to dish out damage, the basic combos are not what you want to use.
Yeah, you're not spamming X. You're realizing what you have to press, like between your light heavies, your grab, or whatever the fuck you'd be doing in that game. You're chaining. It's not just your light heavy and then whatever skill you may have attached to your weapon. Yeah, it's
on top of
again.
Which some attacks have debuffs or buffs, or they'll light an enemy on fire or electrocute them, or so on and so forth.
They're also very different difficulties. And they are difficult in different ways. I don't really, because of the tools at your disposal, I don't think Dark Souls as a whole is hard, because a lot of the difficulty people speak of is, again, that self-imposed difficulty. It is.
Well, yeah, I think the challenge of Dark Souls is that it does not forgive ignoring the system. There's absolutely zero forgiveness for that. If you want to walk up, because my first approach playing any game is to walk up and wail on the enemy, and every single enemy in this game, unless you've got a weapon that staggers them, which does not always work. Like, you basically have a weapon, and if that weapon is over-leveled versus the enemies you're using it on, you stand an okay chance of just wiping them out, no problem. Like, the basic mobs, some of them, you can walk up and just plow through because you're constantly pushing them back and staggering them with little attacks. They can't push through the attack. But then there's going to be another half-step higher version of that enemy that now has a pike and a shield, and you can wail on them, and they'll bounce back for a moment. But then while they're doing that, that other arm is swinging a spear directly at your face.
Yeah.
And then so it constantly scolds you for being lazy. Like, so there's...
unless you're a sorcerer. No.
Yeah. Unless you're I have been sorcerer. One hit killed. Anytime I start thinking I'm remotely decent, I killed that one boss, that deer god boss.
Oh,
that
yeah. Yeah, thing. From
rolled out of there.
The Saria River.
Yeah. Ran by like a mid-tier enemy, and I was like, I just wiped this boss out, no problem. Thwack, thwack, one hit kill.
Yeah, that's what I just went. That's over. One thing that's always impressive, I'll have to say, with the Dark Souls games, is it, like I'm saying, it's all about trivializing, for me, it's all about trivializing the game as much as you can, becoming insanely overpowered, but also you occasionally just are humbled. The game's like, okay, I see you. And then you just get butt fucked by the. You could get butt fucked by any enemy in the game for the most part, outside of like really early bosses eventually. But you can always take a wrong step and immediately spell out your own doom. And I always found that impressive in the games, that there's always that ever looming threat of the humbling. So we're going to call it. We have the rumbling, and then this is the humbling. It rolls up on you, ends you without a second thought, and you're like, okay. I'm going to get off my high horse for a bit. We'll start treating everything a little bit more seriously like we do. And it still happens to me. I'm on my fucking fifth playthrough, level 255, whatever the fuck. I could one-shot most of the bosses with like a single Jesus beam as a sorcerer. I went through so many different fucking builds in this game. I did a Rivers of Blood. I did sorcery. I did Faith with the Bolt of Grand Sacks, which is fucking incredible. One of the best animations in the game. You're just hurling massive fucking lightning bolts. It's so cool. I done the katanas, the plenty of weeb builds. I've done the akimbo colossal weapon strength builds where you're jump and slamming down and murking shit that way. So I've messed with a lot of the builds, and right now I'm messing around with sorcery because I haven't yet in this game. And they're fun. Love Azura Comet. Jesus beam you Kamehameha motherfucker into the ground. Incredible. Also, there's this other one, Sean, you can get. It's from one of the bosses. You just open like a hole in the sky and summon shitloads of meteors down onto the ground. And if the boss is big enough, they don't all track. But if you're fighting a massive boss, they'll all just hit him because he's so big. So if you can get a big boss that all these meteors hit, it probably does the most damage in the game. From what I've seen so far, like you can do like 10k deep, like 10,000 damage in like 1 or 2 seconds if you're placed well and you have all your buffs up. It's fucking insane. But yeah, that I like. I like feeling like a fucking god, not like, and you can feel that way with other stuff, but I just never felt that way with like the melee builds or whatever the fuck. Because you're always within range to get humbled. But if I'm back there nuking you from a distance, you feel much stronger. But yeah, that and always playing together too. Also, some of the shenanigans. We've had some fun in PvP when people invade with the Mimic Veil and trying to have people find us.
That's so much fun.
It's, I'm telling you, Sean, we spent probably 100 hours in Dark Souls 3. They had an area you can go to, which a lot of people like to invade in. If we would chill there, it was like a swampy area. And before, you didn't have an item, unfortunately. It was like a thing, a consumable, but you can buy an infinite amount of them. It was like a stick that you can get, and it would turn you into a prop. And it was me, Tyler, and Jonathan, and we would always just chill there and then wait for someone to invade and wait for them, and they'd run around looking for us, and sometimes they'd like put themselves in a weird spot, and we'd all roll into them and start wailing on them and fuck them up and trap them in a corner. And it's just so much fun waiting for the people to find you. It's a little bit harder in this game because in order to make it work, they've basically tell the invaders kind of where you are. In the other games, they didn't do that. As far as I understand, they didn't tell the invaders because everything was on a closed circuit. You couldn't just fucking go anywhere. Also, kind of annoying thing for invaders is sometimes you can invade and you get put on a mountaintop and your target's at the bottom. You got no fucking way to get down there. Or like they'll be on like on a rooftop AFK or some other shit, and that makes it a little bit annoying. Considering how open everything is, it adds a little annoyances here and there. But I've enjoyed that. As always, playing together has been fun. Trying to take down specific bosses, especially getting nerfed into the ground every time we join your world, Sean. Like that fucking. I feel so strong, and then I come to your world, and I'm doing like 1/8 of the damage I'm doing, and I'm like,
there are little shiny moments I like. Like I like it when somebody shows up. Like it's happened twice now, where somebody will show up and they play by that, because I didn't know there was like and I use this term very loosely. I understand it's a video game, but I didn't know there was like an honor code that some people like to play by. Oh,
yeah, there's like an etiquette that people use, yeah.
Yeah, and that one dude that popped in when we were fighting that rolling battle platform near the school, and we had to run down the stairs because we thought he was assaulting us, and all he did was follow. And then he politely waited for us to finish dispatching the enemies, and then he stepped up, and you stepped off to the side after accidentally attacking him.
Oh, yeah. I felt so bad.
But even then, like, he saw you back off, and he's like, nah, fuck it, let's go. And so we fought each other, and I came close. I don't remember if I did get him. I don't remember. I think I did kill him.
I think there's you did too. I think you got him with a bleed. Killed him with a bleed, or something like that.
There's been four fights that I've done with somebody who actually played straight up, like, did not heal. Like, ever since then, when I fight, I don't use heals unless I see them use a heal.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah, I don't heal, and there's been four dudes that I've went up against that that weren't didn't do any crazy cheating, like jump on me with. I'm not saying it's cheating, because if I roll in and four people attack me all at once, that's just the way it is. But I've also seen guys roll in on when we're, or not four people, but three people, when we're rolling three deep, and they clean all of us. They roll you, they roll Tyler, they roll me, or they roll Sleazy, they roll Daedalus, they roll me. Like, I've seen that happen. So it's completely possible. But there are a lot of really cheap ass builds just for PvP. Shitload,
that the Rivers of Blood is so fucking OP. There's literally
that, and that other one, the that one's a PvP weapon and a PvE weapon, but the other one is especially
the Moondale. Is it like
that one was designed specifically?
It's for heavy PvP. Yeah,
yeah. Like, it's much. It seems like it's much more useful for that.
It's really.
But
fast.
I like those gems where, like, they pop in, and I'm like, I don't really want them to be there. But at the same moment, it's fun kind of going up against them and fighting and seeing, like, you know, how it plays out.
Yeah.
And I like that. I love the prop hunt element. Like, that's a shiny thing. Like, anytime they come in, immediately we're like, oh shit. And then we run into a corner and pray that whatever random thing pops up isn't like a shining beacon to come and stab the flowers growing in the middle of the throne room.
Yeah.
And
then you have people literally on the exact opposite, where they utilize every, like, broken element. Like, we had one dude we ran into, Sean. We were fighting a boss. There's an area you go to eventually called the Crumbling Ferula or some shit. You've been there. Yeah. That's with the tornadoes. You've been there.
Yeah.
You went there through the belfries. Yeah. We went up, and there's a boss, a mini boss you fight before a big boss room. We were trying to get to the big boss room. We get to the mini boss room. Or we were fighting the mini-boss, and this dude shows up. We were literally dealing with a fucking boss, this massive fuck-off dude. He's actually that guy, that one guy we fought before he went into the Capitol. They just copy-pasted him. It's the dragon guy. He imbues his weapon with the lightning. He's on a horse. He's covered in the golden armor. Yeah. We were fighting him, and this dude literally just rolled up on us, and, like, we saw him invade, and I was trying to look for him, but the boss was getting me in, like, a thing where I had to roll multiple times, and he just showed up. He had this thing where he put shit on him, and if you were standing next to him, it would build up something called death. And as it does, when that bar gets to completion, you literally just fucking die. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You literally get impaled with, like, the shit that comes out of the ground. Dead. You're just fucking dead. And he all it did was it would emanate from him. And he just literally rolled into you and just kept rolling into you. And if I was in a bad spot having to fight the fucking boss, he just rolled into me, kept rolling into me, it built up full, and I died instantly. And that was it. And we're like, wow, what a dick. Like, the no etiquette, using, like, some absolute bullshit fucking ability. Like, that shit's annoying as fuck. And unfortunately, in the time I've played, and we get invaded a lot because I'm always playing multiplayer, and the only times you really get invaded is if you're playing with two people. It's even, like, there have some...
Did I tell you I got invaded by myself? Did I tell you how that happened?
I know that NPCs can still invade you. I don't know.
No, Tyler dropped out.
Oh, yeah. And then an invader
came in within seconds afterwards. It's like, you've been invaded.
I remember being in the call because I think that was a couple days ago, because I was really pissed because it was like we were on a spree of getting disconnected from each other. Yeah.
So I turned into grass, and then he ran past me, and then ran past me again, and then ran past me again, and then looked around for a while. And then I think I almost metaphorically saw the light bulb come on, so he pulled his out and used it and turned into the same exact fucking grass and confirmed it for himself, and then popped out and then popped back into the grass again. And then we just danced around for like 10 minutes, and then he just slowly walked toward where the enemies were, and I was like, all right, well, I can go fight him. And like Tali's like, no, fuck it, just follow him. And so I went up the stairs and got my ass beat by enemies. And then it was over, and Tyler's like, yeah, that wasn't as interesting as I thought it would be.
I had a...
And then we moved on.
In order to get to a specific area, you need to invade people three times, and you're given a talisman you can activate. Not a talisman. It's just an item, because talismans are actual things you can use. But you're given an item you can activate, and you go visit this other area of the game. And there's a specific point in that area where there's a shitload of enemies that are all sleeping, lined up on a side. They're those newt-looking things. I think they're called Albarnix or some shit. There's a fuckload of them just lined up. And there's one item you can get that shoots this... it's a weapon that shoots this massive AoE in a cone that goes straight. And it literally covers this entire walkway. So you could nuke all, like, 40-something of these dudes with a single swing of this weapon. And you just go there. There's a talisman you can get that gives you more souls, and there's an item you can consume that gives you more souls as well, and they stack. So you just sit there and kill them and farm that area out. I don't know what the fuck I was... Oh, yeah, yeah, but in order to get there, you have to invade other worlds three times. You're given these, like, fucked up bloody fingers or whatever, and then the dude afterwards, you go back to him, he gives you something else, you go cover it with the blood of a maiden, come back, and do whatever, and then he gives you the thing, you can go there. It's actually one of the demigods, one of the sons of Merica, or one of the sons and daughters of Merica is in there. He's one of the demigods you could fight. There's actually, because not all of them are required. There's a few of them that you go through doing the main stuff, but there's like three, I think. Because there's Millennia, she's one of them. Mikola you never see, that's her brother. I don't think you ever see Mikola. Millennia's one. There's Praetor Rykard, which is one that you don't see naturally. You have to go and do a quest line. And, because you fight Morgott. God, I'm so bad with names in these games. But yeah, there's Millennia, Praetor Rykard, and then this guy, Mog, or whatever the fuck his name is. They're all out of the way, and you go do separate things to go fight them. He's actually a really cool boss fight. He's probably one of the... Him and Praetor Rykard are probably the two most visually appealing boss fights in the game, from what I've seen. I haven't fought every boss, but I fought most of the major ones, I can assume.
That one chick, the moon lady?
Yeah, Ronnie's beautiful. Yeah, Ronnie was really cool, too. I actually, even though her fight wasn't very easy, I really liked that there was, like, mechanics to it outside of learning the moveset and dodging. Like, there was actually something you're doing to get there. Although, that fight is so fucking buggy in multiplayer. I can't tell you how many times we've gotten up to that. Like, it's to the point where we don't even do it in multiplayer. When we get to that point, we just both do it in our solo worlds and fuck off and don't worry about it anymore. But there'll be some times where the ads don't spawn. The chicks on the ground, they don't spawn. There'll be some times where her bubble doesn't spawn, the mechanic that you actually have to do. There'll be some times where she doesn't spawn. There'll be some times where you complete her first phase, go into transition to the second, the game fucking crashes. So there's, I don't know what's wrong with that specific fight. That shit's fucked. But, yeah, I think the look, I liked all of Rey Lucara. I think that's what that place is called. That whole academy was really fucking cool. Just going through it, I thought it was dope. They seem to be like right up fucking dickheads though. The people in there experimenting on the dragons and with the glintstone and doing all that other shit, they're really fucked up. But the area was gorgeous. It looked cool. And leading up to that final fight with her was really dope too. I thought it was awesome. But yeah, wait till you see Praetor Rykard, Sean. That fight's really cool. They have, I'm not going to actually spoil anything about it, just because the idea of it's really cool. It's also an unconventional fight. I like those, but they're more like about...
I think it's got a lot of potential, man. I think it's a good game, but I would like, and the only reason why I picked it up on my own at all is just to be a bit more competent, like to grind money or currency, I guess you should say, because I don't know what it's called.
Oh, it's I think it's called like runes. Upgrade. I call everything Dark Souls terminology. Souls.
Yeah, I noticed. Flasks, Souls, bonfire, all that shit. Yeah,
bonfire. I don't call them graces. That's all gay. Fuck that shit. I call them what they should be, damn it. They look exactly like bonfires. Well, not exactly, but they look a lot like bonfires. They're like baby bonfires. So why don't they call them baby bonfires?
Graces.
Yeah, graces.
It wasn't I mean, I like it. I don't love it, but I like it. It's fun to play. It's fun to explore with everybody. Everybody's been very patient with me running off and staring at this nook, this cranny. I even found some shit other people didn't know was there.
I wish it was easier to explore with each other. That's annoying as well, that you
can't. Yeah, they touted this as the multiplayer Dark Souls.
They
that
did.
Was the big thing.
That was an advertisement, a spiel. They did talk about it a lot.
They shouldn't have made you have to farm anything for it. It should be a natural, just given part of the game, and the infrastructure of the game should have been ready, safe, sound, and polished to support bringing in your squad to go and fight stuff. Like it, I think it's absolutely asinine that they're still following that whole bell whatever mentality that I remember from Bloodborne. Only in Bloodborne it was difficult to even farm the bells to get to
some it was insight. You only got it from killing bosses, as far as I understand, or from consuming certain items. But if you ran out of insight, also insight directly affected the way you perceived the world, from what I recall correctly. So if you use too much insight, you wouldn't soft lock yourself, but you kind of put yourself in a weird position where, like, do I want to use this? I for Bloodborne or like Sekiro didn't have any multiplayer. I could kind of understand it. But for these mainline games, they've been pretty good about kind of leaning into that style, the PvP, and there haven't been any major improvements, like insanely major, like good, like reworks of this system since it was introduced. It's kind of nuts. The PvP, when it works, is still very... It's weird because you load up and they say competitive multiplayer. And there's a lot of elements of the multiplayer that immediately cross out the word competitive, because the refresh rate on the servers is ass. I can't tell you how many times people have literally just stopped moving. We've had invaders literally stop moving. You have someone else in your world fighting him. I can't even fucking see it. So I'm out of the battle because he's just standing there and you guys are fighting I'm fighting his fucking after image while you guys are fighting the actual version of him or some shit. I'm too slow or something. I don't fucking know. They'll lag to the point where they get connected, disconnected mid-fight and shit like that. Like, they're there wailing on us or whatever. They just get fucking kicked. I've had people roll through insane bullshit. Like, they should not have survived that any way, shape, or form. Or it should have at least tagged them at some point, and they'll just be practically immune through shit that it would not work. Especially with how often I've used Rivers of Blood. And Rivers of Blood is OP as fuck, don't get me wrong. I'm scum, human trash, whatever. But these people should not be getting out of these combos, because you can hit to confirm things if they roll after it. And it just, they'll either lag through it, or
the lagging fights are brutal. They'll just stand there in one place and you die.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. For the lag, I'm a little bit more understanding, because it was an insanely big game. A lot of people playing, there's probably heavy weight on the servers. And that's something that's very difficult. It's not easy for the devs to address, because you have to go to people, giving you money to ask for more servers. It's not a simple process. So that's understandable. I'm a little bit more lenient towards that stuff. But the main system in the game itself is still archaic as fuck. And it does not work, especially. This is the biggest point we've seen where it just does not work for this type of experience. And if they continue going down this path, say they could keep the game's open world for whatever reason, they're going to have to address this at some point. It just doesn't work. And a lot of people say, like, oh, that's not the intended way to play, whatever. But that doesn't mean you could just leave all the quality of life out of something that still exists within the game. Even if that you want people to play the game solo and do all this shit, that's obviously not the case, because they've had the most systems implemented in this game out of all of them to make sure you have someone with you to some degree. You can have Spirit Ash, you can have something with you to some degree, and some of the ashes are stronger. Actually, most of the ashes would be stronger than having another person, because if you have more, if you add more people, the game scales with as many people as you have. There's more health on the bosses. It takes longer. The ashes do not work that way. So there's, I don't think there's any excuse to have the system the way it is, in my opinion. It's really archaic. It sucks. It, the fact that, like, I literally have to be watching someone else's screen because we're trying to meet up to summon instead of us just being able to play within the same game. I would love to see FromSoft tackle a fully cooperative experience that's Dark Souls.
I still don't understand why they can't just patch it and make it possible. Like, they have other games that are bigger and more complicated and older from, like, 10 years ago. Where you can tag people in. They even had swap drop-in, drop-out gameplay back then. Look at Borderlands.
Oh, I thought you were talking about FromSoft. So I'm going to say that. I don't know.
No, I'm saying like, they have every ability to do it. It just seems like they refuse to adapt or evolve. I'm not asking them to make it easier. I don't give a shit about that. I'm not asking them to change how the game plays. Just, you said it was a multiplayer game. Make multiplayer part of the basic gameplay, not I have to go and farm flowers, and I have to then craft the flowers, and then I can summon people in because I crafted fucking flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dumb. At first, I didn't like that either. Eventually, it'll become a non-issue, but it still doesn't really...
It's annoying. Like, yeah, it doesn't... You said it was multiplayer. I shouldn't have to work for that. It's part of the game. You sold me a game based off of a mechanic that then I have to go and farm shit just to play that? Like, no, it's multiplayer. Just make it part of the game.
Yeah, I think it'd be...
What's wrong with you?
I would love... And I don't know if they ran into issues during development with how they originally approached multiplayer that kind of fucked all this over. Considering making games is fucking hard. But I would really love if the game just straight up... You could summon people, you could both get on your own version of Torrent and just ride around the open map together. That would be fucking incredible. If you need to block off specific caves or areas for certain reasons, that's fine, do that. But there should be no reason to block off most of the open world. Unless there is a technical downside that they just could not get across when they were in the process of making the game.
I don't mind that. To me, it plays like a Metroidvania, which is one of my favorite style of games, where you earn your way into other areas by, I mean, some places they don't block it off. You can walk all the fucking way there.
No, yeah, that's fine.
Other areas you have to find.
It's not even a complaint because it works into the interconnectivity. I'm just talking about the horse itself. Like,
oh yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, because if you're in Lurnia of the Lakes or some shit, you can, if you wanted to, run all across it on foot. So why the fuck can we not both spawn a horse and run across it on horseback? Again, there are areas you run into where you get smoke walls. That's fucking fine if you need the game to flow a specific way. But you have these massive areas you can summon someone in and literally walk across them. So why the fuck can I not bring a horse with me and we can both be on a torrent? It makes no fucking sense. I don't know. There's got to be some kind of technical limitation that they ran into within their engine, the way they implement multiplayer, that made it impossible to have two people on Torrent. I don't fucking know. You can't even have one person on fucking Torrent. So they, I don't know. It's weird that you'd have this massively open world game that you can play with friends and not have a way of traversing the open world with your friends. It's just really fucking weird. And I hope it's addressed in a future title. I hope a lot's addressed with multiplayer in the future. Again, like I was saying, I think it'd be fucking really cool if they implemented a multiplayer cooperative Dark Souls experience where the game's banking on you having at least two people in the instance, and you can play through it that way. And then if you have to address for someone playing solo, again, we have Spirit Ashes. Let the Spirit Ashes work for them in that way or some shit. And have, like, legit mechanics in these boss fights outside of just memorize what their combo is and dodge when you need to. Have something that your second person can do to assist in the fight, or just something. Make it really interesting, cooperative, cool experience in a Dark Souls engine. I think that'd be dope. But I don't know. I don't think we'll ever see that outside of it being some kind of other offshoot game they do, maybe. Because I just this community, they're fucking boneheaded. I'm gonna see incredible boneheads all across the board. I'm generalizing. I know y'all are fucking boneheads. they make any changes outside of open world, apparently, and it's no longer Dark Souls. You summon someone, you're not playing the game truly. You use electricity to power the game, you're not playing the game truly. You didn't lobotomize yourself to forget all the moves, you're not playing the game truly. It's just fucking weirdos across the board. I think, as someone that's played a lot of these games, I love it. I've had a lot of fun playing it. I still don't technically, I think the, I don't think the open world takes more away than it gives with the scale and what they did. But I still wish it was more like the other games, because then the multiplayer wouldn't even be as bad, because most of the gripes I have are because of the scale that it sits on, but it's whatever. If they continue doing stuff like that, say if we get a Bloodborne 2 and it's just like a giant dark gothic Elden Ring or some shit, I'd be still down for that. That'd be really fucking hard, because most of it would be in a city. Bruce, are you okay, man? I see you over there eating your ass, coughing up a lung. Is everything good?
I think Bloodborne, I loved the visual style of Bloodborne. I thought it was an excellent horror game.
It's still my favorite looking like game.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
I would love to see something with, not necessarily a Mega Man aesthetic, it doesn't have to be cartoony, but something with that same kind of bright, colorful, just vibrant world with really interesting, non-revolting character designs necessarily. That's still hard as fuck to play through. Like, you know, a 3D, you know, virtual world to explore, so on and so forth. It's still challenging and has super hard bosses, and you have to learn the meta and that sort of thing. Like, I think that'd be great. Unfortunately for me, that's got to be more like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta, and even those games have a lot of washed out kind of areas because you're fighting demons and such. But I really thought that's what Elden Ring was going to be. It was going to be like these vast, colorful vistas, and while they do have a little bit of that, mostly in the skybox, we've got these long, pretty shots and golden peaks and ivory white towers and shit. Most of it's just a ruined world yet again, and I feel like they've done that so many times that that part is not what interests me. It's just not. Yeah, I've seen so much Dark Souls gameplay. Look, a ruined world. I've seen Sekiro. Look, a ruined world. I've seen Bloodborne. Look, a ruined world. Like, well, you guys are beating a fucking dead horse.
I kind of get it.
It's the same fucking story again.
Well, the thing is, FromSoft doesn't tell stories. They make lore and worlds. I refuse, if any of you come to me and try and correct me, you are retarded. I refuse to believe that FromSoft tells stories. They do not. You go find the story, because everything is lore books, pretty much. It's Destiny 1. Shit happens, you have no clue, and you gotta all find out about it from an external source that's not narratively given to you. Whether it be reading weapon descriptions, all that. Now, they do an incredible job at building these worlds and these lores and whatever. But, guarantee you did a survey, I'd say more than 3/4 of the people that play Dark Souls games have any semblance of a fuck of what's going on. Most of them do not fucking know, because no one's willing to take that effort. Now, they may have a vague idea, but if you ask them, like, of a specific event that happened and what that meant to the lore and overarching extent of that the game as like a story or whatever the fuck, no fucking clue. No one would fucking know. 9 times out of 10 when I play Dark Souls games, I go do thing, kill person, and I understand that I did thing and killed person. No fucking clue what any of it means. 9 times out of 10, no fucking clue who I'm hurting or helping. 9 times out of 10, a lot of the time when I get an ending, I don't even know if it was a good or bad one. Most of the time when I'm playing fucking Dark Souls, I don't know if I did a good or a bad thing. Hell. So I just refuse to believe they tell stories. And that's fine. If that's the experience you're looking for, hell yeah. I personally think it'd be cool to see them attempt to tell a story. They might have to fucking hire somebody, because I don't even know if they got anyone on the team that does that shit. They may not. But it'd be really cool to see them attempt something like that and see what comes out of it. But they've never really... I don't think they've really ever attempted to tell a story, but they built goddamn incredible worlds and attached really interesting lore to them. And that's existed through all of them. They've all been incredibly interesting. I would say, unfortunately, most of the stuff I've learned has been from watching people talk about it that did that 30-hour digging to kind of build a story out of it. But I think they're pretty varied in what they do. But I would understand looking at from a top down, everything's the same. There is no understanding, because they don't go out of their way to give you an understanding of any of those exterior events. But yeah, so it just seems like you're always doing the same shit. It's just different areas. So I understand.
There's a lot
that
to complain about, but I think it's a good game. I've enjoyed 100%. Playing it. I have a lot of fun playing it with you guys. I have a lot of fun. And one of the things that we all love and won't necessarily agree to it openly, but there's a certain satisfaction. There's an absolute satisfaction to grinding and getting results. That's one of the things that makes RPGs, like, this is not an RPG. I will slap anybody who fucking says it is. But this is one of the things that makes role-playing games so much fun, is growing your character, putting in the work, getting the armor pieces you want, earning the weapons you want, earning the materials to upgrade those weapons, getting that satisfaction of having the armor that does this thing, or the gun that does that thing, or the underwear that does this other thing. You know, that shit's fun. And they really give you significant reward in games like this, because when you manage to beat that guy, that weapon you get is functional. Even sometimes you'll kill what's a seemingly innocuous enemy, but there's a rare drop that is one of its weapons, and then you get that weapon, and like those fucking daggers I've got that do like insane fucking blood damage.
Yeah.
Where I just roll up and there's this red shit going everywhere. Like, you guys were laughing so much because we'd be in the middle of a melee fighting like 8 enemies, and you always knew where I was because there's red splatters going fucking everywhere.
Yeah, I think the...
It was awesome. Fun stuff.
Yeah, the level of expression. And again, it's always been really good in Dark Souls, more so than in their offshoot games. But the level of expression and creativity that people come across and things that they find, and being able to build into all these different and most likely usually viable stuff. 9 times out of 10, there will be a few things that sit above the rest as being high points of, if you're looking at straight DPS, you can pretty much make anything fucking work. It's just the beauty of the game and how it is. So if you have something that you think is really cool, looks really cool, or plays really fun, you can make it work. And most things are viable. And it's always been like that in Dark Souls. I can't imagine the level of testing that they go through to make sure this suite of options that they give their players will work for the most part. That's always why I always respec so often, because there's always something I see, I'm like, wow, that's so fucking cool. And I mess around with it for a bit. Good thing about this game is they give you a lot of opportunities to respec. That hasn't always been the case in the past games too.
Anytime you want, you just gotta go and pay for it.
Yeah. But in previous games, it's been more expensive, used harder to find materials, or that's usually the only two two options that you'd run into. So it made it a little bit more difficult. But this, you could do it fucking freely. You can get like 16 to 20 of those rebirth larvae every playthrough. If not more. Those are just some that I've come across from the different areas.
You can buy like some places, earn some. I think, was it Ronnie? You can get some from her.
Yeah, there's two areas you can visit that have these enemies that literally guarantee a spawn or guarantee a drop of one every time you kill those enemies. So, if you're ever in Necrozia or Necrostala, I think is the other place. I don't think there's any in the River of Sofria. Or Sofria River, whatever the fuck. But Necrozia or Necrostala, you're in any of these two areas, you see giant metal balls rolling around, kill them every time. You'll always get a larval tear, whatever the fuck they're called. So I do appreciate, they have a lot of systems here that help aid that expression in this game, which is really nice. Like they have the bell bearings, which are always great. So you could basically get, once you get them, an infinite supply of upgrade stones, which is awesome. And also on top of that, you have the, how I really have never felt bad, re-rolling. because those resources just so readily available. So that's also really good. So there's a lot aiding the overall expression and just experimentation going on. Like, me and Tell alone have probably gone through like 20, 30 builds just playing through the game. And it's been so fun messing with the different things and not really feeling super bad once you've established your kind of your like supply lines of shit to get everything. There's always a place you could readily jump to work towards a build without. Now, there are obviously, if there's some things a build needs, like you need a specific quest line to be completed to get a specific talisman or some shit, and some of those are game changers. That can be a little frustrating, but again, it's not as bad. You can still experiment with the weapon, see how you like it, and then further min-max that later with talismans or armor sets or whatever the fuck you may need. Being able to get your foot in the door quickly is great. And those quality of life improvements are incredible. I've had so much fun experimenting because of them.
I also like that you can set your own kind of like difficulties too. Like, I decided to play a dragon-free playthrough, so like the end, start to finish, my first playthrough, I'm not going to kill any dragons at all. So I've cut off a whole suite.
You're lucky
of like weapons and armors.
Yeah, you're lucky. There's none you have to kill, because that would have been an interesting thing. Like, there's a specific boss that was dragon-like you had to kill, but I don't think there's anything like that. But yeah, you lock yourself out of certain spells. So you lose the communion stuff. But yeah, again, like, I wouldn't say Elden Ring is particularly hard, right? Unless you want it to be. And that's, again, all that self-imposed difficulty. Hey.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. A great fucking game.
I don't regret spending $53 on a game that I'm only going to get to play with my friends, specifically because of how much fun it is to play with you guys, especially rolling in, which on a handful of occasions this has happened, where we're like, all right, we're ready for the boss, and we do the buffs, and I roll in, and then I run up to the boss, and then I realize that the other two players are back by the entrance just hanging out, waiting to see how long it takes people quite panic.
Yeah.
And then they roll in like thunder and start like fucking hitting him, because I just got launched across the arena into a rack full of spikes by the butthole.
Yeah, or there's those really good moments where we're doing really good, and the boss pulls out the fuck you Gizmotron 5000 and just Wally like fucking shits down your throat, slams you in the ground, you go from 100 to 0.
Yeah, I've been one hit killed so many fucking times.
Yeah. Need to get more points in that vigor. Vigor is not a linear scale. Like, but the difference between like 10 to 20 vigor is dog shit, but 20 to 40, massive. So once you get it up into those higher areas, you won't feel as weak. But I've had that problem right now. Being a sorcerer, I'm all about my fashion souls, right? I could run around in heavy armor, but then I don't look like a fucking sorcerer. So I'm wearing the getup, right? I got the drip. I'm wearing the Ronnie set, right? Looking like a sorcerer. Got my big floofy hat. Feeling it, right? I am Ronnie 2.0, right? And fucking, I get hit once, it does like 60% of my fucking health. I have a lot of health, thank God, but it fucking hurts. It hits like a truck because my resistance, I get like 3 points from every fucking thing I'm wearing compared to 20. But I'm all about the fashion souls. And they have some really fucking cool looking armors in this game. Love Radahn's set with the big fucking poof hair coming out the back. Love Ronnie's set. There's been the Ronin set looks really cool. I really like the Clean Rot armor set. That one looks sick. Just overall design, but design's never been bad in Dark Souls games. They make some really cool-looking fantasy shit. I've always enjoyed doing that. And I also like, and this has always been, this is just Dark Souls in general, but just that, like, carry an infinite amount of weapons, infinite amount of armors, look through them, move around them freely. I've always enjoyed that about these games, too. Again, that expression. There's a lot of attention paid to letting you do whatever the fuck you want with your character and be whoever the fuck you want to be. I've always enjoyed that. It's cool. So, yeah, definitely excited to get back to it whenever we get the time. I always love playing multiplayer Dark Souls when it works. Hopefully it starts working a bit more often. We're going to have some problems from Soft. I don't want to have to come down there and intervene. But I don't know, plug in some more servers or something, man. I know it's that simple. All it is you're flipping a light switch. I understand that. Trust me. So go ahead and get it going, because me getting disconnected 5 to 10 times in a fucking row trying to play with my friend is insanely fucking frustrating. I don't know how the fuck that's okay. I haven't heard anyone talk about this shit either. I know a lot of people are like the gamer bro, solo, strength only bullshit build and all that other cringe shit. Do what the fuck you want. I don't care. But that's fucking, like, there's no excuse for that at all. And it's 2 months since the game's launched and we're still having these issues? Like, what the fuck? They've lost 80% of their player base, their concurrent player base, and we're still having these issues. Now, again, that may be a lot for Dark Souls. I don't fucking know. But, shit, man. Get your shit together. That's fucking crazy. Well, glad you enjoyed it, Sean. Maybe when we, because I've played like through it like 5 times, but maybe once we get you finished through it, we may have a, that's, to be honest, we may rate the game and shit like that, but there isn't even a spoiler talk because no one knows what the fuck's going on anyway. So we'll just give it a rating later once you finish the game. But we got to try and go through all the major bosses, all the demigods, and go fight them all. It'd be kind of cool. oh, my goodness. So definitely some fun times. If you're playing Elden Ring, let us know what you think, and you're tuning in. Join the Discord. Hang out with us. The way you do that, all the links will be down below. Check out the description wherever you're tuning in. You'll have all the means to connect with us. We'd really appreciate it. Come hang out. Come join us live. We record these live through the Discord. Come listen, talk with us, hang out with us. Be some good times. So we're going to go ahead, move forward. We're on a bit of a time crunch today as well. So we're going to finish Alex's game. We have a couple more to go through that we were playing last week. And then we'll go ahead and probably go over a bit of news and then go ahead and wrap things up for this week. So Sean, we were going through it. I think the last one we did was fucking, we did all the way up to 6, so we only got 3 more to do, or 4 more technically, because number 7 counts, and then we'll be good with the game, and we could finish the mailbag question. That's a 2-part mailbag. See, Alex, we knew you wrote fucking essays, bro, but you really one-upped us here, man. That's a 2-parter fucking mailbag question. You've outdone yourself. I don't even know what to say. But let's get back into this. Try and roll these a little bit quicker because we just spent a lot of time on it last week. But I do want to give it a solid go, not just bullshit our way through it. So we have number 7. This is, oh no, we did number 7 too. We only got 3. We're on number 8. This is helpful comments for connections and saga. Oh, for those of you that, if you weren't listening last week, just to give you an idea. For our 200th episode, Alex wrote in a mailbag that was kind of a game for us to play that looked back over the 4 years we've been recording the show, and he picked out specific episodes and gave us hints to guess what episode it was that he's mentioning there. We got a couple of them, but again, 4 years, 200 episodes, you're not going to remember every single thing you got on and talked about. I don't remember what I had for breakfast last week, or this morning. So that's what we're doing. So basically, he'll have an alternate version of the title and a hint, and we'll have the answer blotted out. Once we think we know what it might be, we'll go ahead and check to see if it was right. We'll announce if it was, move on. So we're going to go ahead and roll through these real quick. We have helpful comments for connections and Saga of Spirits, in which Sean tells the story of how he puked into the mouth of his automobile accompaniment. Now, I remember this story.
Puked into the mouth of my what?
Wasn't it? I'm trying to remember, but you were riding around with your boys.
No, I remember that. We were coming back from the nightclub and it went out the window and in the back window.
Yeah. Yeah. And you hit that friendly fire.
Oh God. Yeah. It was hilarious. But, man, I've told that story so many times where like innocent, like people who are listening, start just dry heaving.
Yeah.
It's so
got to bring everyone into it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking, I'm trying to, because the name, the when I read the alternate title, it immediately sounded familiar. Helpful comments for connections and Saga of Spirits. There was one where we talked about, now this may not actually even be right, but there was one where we talked about being, like, how we, wait a second. Helpful comments for connections and Sagas of Spirits. I remember as we, No, that's not it. We had one that was like, what motivates our kindness? Where we talked about that, but that doesn't really even
remember fit. That.
Helpful comments for connections and sagas of spirits. Helpful comments for connections and sagas of spirits. And again, it's weird.
I would have to pull up Spotify. Does it have the titles on it?
Yeah, it does. It's weird with the side stories, because those don't make, nine times out of ten, those don't make it as the main topic, because we go off on so many fucking insane tangents. I'm not going to go ahead and put all that in the title. So we're kind of, it's a lot of it's going off of memory here. And then obviously the alternate title and what I can kind of gleam out of it. Oh, wait. I think I found it. 147, relationship advice and drinking stories.
Helpful, yeah, that's it.
Helpful comments for connections and sagas of spirits. And that would fit, because it would actually, this one makes the most sense out of all of them. I think that one's going to be it too.
That's definitely it.
Yeah, 147, relationships, advice for drinking. That was a fun episode. I like that episode. Yeah, it was 147. Okay. This one's number 9. It says, The Grim Reaper, Helpless on a Beach. Okay, in which the titular trio gets into a discussion about a particular franchise, and our very own Sam Harris drops the incredibly elusive F-bomb. Ooh. Ooh. It's a long title, because there's multiple lines blotted out here.
App.
What happened?
I was just trying to picture. I've forgotten anything about that, so like immediately I'm like, what did he say, FAP? Like, where's
Oh, yeah, yeah. Has Sam ever said fuck on the show? Would it be fuck?
I think he cursed once, I remember, because I was...
What a bad Christian boy. Yeah, I know, right? What the fuck? The fuck heard around the world. God damn it. Not Sam. The Grim Reaper, Helpless on a Beach. Huh. The Grim Reaper, Helpless on a Beach. See, now when I find this one, I gotta go listen back to it. Because I don't know what F word he said. The Grim Reaper, Helpless on a Beach. See, that even that, I'm trying to think of something that we might have talked about. And that does not sound familiar at all. Huh.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding?
Yeah.
I know we had a Death Stranding episode where we talked about Death Stranding and Pokemon. But the title had Death Stranding it had Pokemon and Death Stranding impressions. So I don't know if it's that one.
Well, if you're on a beach, you're stranded, and the Grim Reaper is death. So, true. But I don't know where the beach part comes in. Death Stranding impressions, was that before it came out?
No, that was early after it came out. The Grim Reaper, Helpless on a Beach. Oh, man. This one sounds... I'm assuming this is post 100, it feels like.
Well, the Death Stranding episode was...
It was around 100.
I was just looking at it. 110. But he didn't mention anything about Pokemon.
Yeah. I think he would have, too, if he did. I don't think it's, yeah, I'm going through sub 100. I don't see anything here. All right, so we're going to go back up and go down the list one more time. That's the problem, is they're not, it's not one simple list. I have to go back fucking really slow. The Grim Reaper, Helpless on a Beach. No. Huh, well, this one might be hard. Grim Reaper. See, this is going to be one where when I do see it, I'm going to be pissed. Because I feel like we're close. Although we may not be. See, I can't even think of something where we... That sounds familiar. I might just have to go with Death Stranding 2. And if it is, I'm going to be kind of mad. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything. I think we might have to just go with the Death Stranding episode. Death Stranding and Pokemon Impressions.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, let's do that one. Let's see if we got it. Oh, it is episode 110. Death Stranding. See, okay, whatever. Where's the Pokemon, bro? You kind of fixed that. It says, for Sam's F-bomb, go to the episode and skip to 131.01, just about 91 minutes in. Thank you for that. Actually, I'm going to play it live. I want to hear Sam's F-bomb. Was it 110? Yeah, 110. This is going to be beautiful. It's going to take a second to find it. This is going to be weird. How inception is that? We're on the podcast listening to the podcast. That's what we should do from now on. Podcast review of our old episodes. Go back to listen to the first episode and cringe the whole way through. It'd be glorious. Man, imagine hearing that, though. That'd be so mind-fucky. 131.01.
It turns into a double scoop.
Does not like warm weather and appears in nightmares.
Nice. The temperature of their breath is negative 58 degrees Fahrenheit. They create snow crystals and make snow fall in the areas around them. I actually have a Vanillite right now in Sword and Shield.
I caught one too. He's going to be my dragon killer.
Nice. All right.
Talk about Pokemon. Nice. This is fucking weird.
Oh, no.
This is pretty sad right here. It's
into a double scoop.
A freaking Sunday is what he
turned. Oh, I heard it. Oh my god, Sam. You fucking monster.
Are these actually the gens? Did they just get lazy as time went on?
Wait. All right. Everyone, come in close.
Some of them were like full fucking paragraphs. This is the actual.
There he goes.
No, they've condensed them a little bit because like the other one was a little bit too much of a giveaway because this actually.
Oh wait, I think I went too far back. Fuck, wait. I'm good at this. Yeah. It's so weird. Can't go 15.
Yes, and then these are his balls. He turns into a double scoop, Sean. He turns into
he
a double
into
scoop.
A freaking Sunday is what he
Oh does. My god, he said it. I'm appalled. He said he turned into a fucking Sunday. Sam, he can't get out of it. We got him in 4K. Absolute monster. I can't believe him. Someone clip that, send it to his girl. She needs to know. She needs to know who she's fucking with. All right. Next, we have number 10, our final one. It says, our minds are incredibly lewd, in which Sean tells a story involving two friends, Mario Kart, anal beads, and screaming bloody murder. Kyle also asked Sean.
Story too. Pulled that shit like he was rip-starting a lawnmower.
Yeah. Kyle also asked Sean what a Massachusetts Slurpee is. Now that I don't remember.
You used to fucking pull up like these horrible fucking terms and have people guess what it was.
Oh yeah. We've gone through some good stuff. Yeah. We had Sonic
like your entire list and you just ran out of shit to fucking ask. Yeah. We had to guess.
So they're not all interesting. So I had to fucking some days I couldn't find one that was interesting. Alright, so our minds are incredibly lewd. We did have the sexy episode, which was 69. Oh, excuse me.
Wasn't that the episode when I talked about tossing salad?
Possibly. More than likely, actually.
I think I swore that I would, so there was no backing out of it at that point.
Our minds are incredibly...
It's a mature episode, yeah, it was 69.
Yeah, but that one was... We already did. We got that one. That was an earlier question, so it can't be that one. Our minds are incredibly lewd. I feel like this one's older. Oh god, I got a fart. Oh, that was good.
That was not good.
It was good. Our minds are incredibly lewd. It can't be this old, right? Actually, if I was asking the Urban Dictionary questions, it probably was pretty old, because that was a while ago we did that shit.
It was one of the first...
Well, it was one of the first side things we did in a whole was reading the news stories, doing like that. Huh.
When I used to write the skits around the, is it Florida or
Germany?
Fucking...
Yeah. Remember that one we did with Batman or some shit with Tyler? That was fun. That was on the laptop still. We were stuck in. It was me, Caitlin, Tyler. We had a fucking TV dinner tray table, like the ones that fold out. Two of them side by side with the laptop on one. That one we actually tried to record video for too, but the podcasts were just too long and I didn't have a phone with enough space on it, so that never fucking worked out. But it was me, Tyler, Caitlin, or me, Caitlin, Tyler, and they were eating chocolate at the start of the episode.
Perverse.
Tales of the Perverse might be.
It doesn't have it's episode 26.
Oh, but it just says Sean and Kyle.
Sean and Kyle share some tales of steamy love. Feel free to leave a rating. What? I want to hear you share tales of steamy love, Ty. Kyle, do it.
I didn't do anything. I have no steamy love tales, unfortunately.
Hold on. Your steamy love tale.
I couldn't hear it. There you go. I had that one dude in boot camp. We caught jacking off. That wasn't really steamy love, but it was love. There was some love going on in that experience. It was in the showers too. I don't know what he expected because everything's open, right? Even the toilets. So there's no privacy at all. You're always next to someone. Like, I can't tell you how many times I went to sit down on the toilet to shit, and there'd be someone, I don't know why they did it, but there'd be someone that would sit right across the way so we could make eye contact while we're both sitting there shitting. Fucking weird. But there's no drawer. I don't even know why the fuck they have the side stalls, because there's no front stall. All the doors are taken off. But the showers were the same way. They were just a bunch of shower heads in a box room that had one entrance. And when we did our, like, our, we would have PT showers, because you could take you'd take one good shower each day. You actually got time to wash yourself, but the other ones were PT showers, where you do after you got the PT just to get the sweat and dirt off your body. You have your towel wrapped around your side. My towel was way too fucking small. They did that on purpose. Someone assassinated me. So my towel kept falling down, and my kill sergeant was always so pissed with me. He's like, Grabova, I never want to see your dick again. It was always like that. Every time I fucking saw that motherfucker, he was commenting on my small wiener. It was fucking annoying. So... because my fucking towel kept falling down. Because you weren't just carrying your towel, you were carrying your change of clothes, because you changed afterwards after you dried off. But so we walked in, and you'd hold your towel and your change to the left. You literally walked through the heads at it like a brisk pace. And that was your PT shower. And we did that after we did PT in the morning. And that never ever made any sense, because 9 times out of 10, you just put your fucking PT clothes back on. I'm telling you, some of my clothes were so fucking... they were like hard. It was like I put on sandpaper, because the shirt, the sweat would just get into it. You get so much fucking assault from your sweat into your shirt, it would harden. It wasn't as like you're like putting on like a SpongeBob shirt or some shit. It was just a box. But yeah, one time there was a dude that was in there at night, because it was like some of the only free time you got is if you tried to go to the bathroom at night. But I don't know why the fuck he went in, because you'd have people doing fire watch. You'd have like four posts doing fire watch. You'd have one in the front that would manage the log. You would log everyone that came in and out of the building or the barracks, because the building had multiple barracks. You had one dude that would do inventory. He'd walk around with a red torch, basically. It was a light that had a red lens, so you wouldn't wake anyone up. And you'd walk around and check the inventory, and the inventory get marked every hour, so no one can like sneak out with like guns or shit. 9 times out of 10, they were locked to the bed frame anyway, and none of them ever had ammo in them, so I don't even know what the fuck you'd go do with them. But when you first get there, after like your first or second week, and you get assigned to barracks, you get a gun, and you carry that gun with you everywhere. So they would just do inventory, check everyone's sea bags, make sure all their shit was there, all that other stuff. But there was one dude that would do laundry and check the bathrooms. And I was that motherfucker that night. So after I finished the laundry, I went to sweep the bathrooms. Someone came into the bathroom. He was just sitting on the toilet, profusely jacking off. Like, I felt really bad, because I felt like I walked in on someone at their lowest point. Like some dude walking on you, just beating your meat to submission. It was not fun. And unfortunately, I didn't want to get in trouble. So I just told the kill hat.
Hey, I probably was a bitch. I wasn't really handling with it. Motherfucker shouldn't have been masturbating in the bathroom. I was probably a bad person for doing that.
Barked on the guy for whacking off in the bathroom?
Yeah, I barked on him. Whatever. He shouldn't have been jacking off. If you're going to jack off, jump out the window and jack off outside. I don't know what the fuck you want from me. Don't do it in the bathroom. You know there's fire watch. I just didn't want to fucking deal with it. Did I watch him till completion? No. I don't know how early or late we were into the jack off session. Again, I'm telling you, they're putting shit in that meat so you couldn't get hard. So that man was probably beating his fucking rubbery noodle for like an hour before that shit got hard because they put shit in the meat, 100%. But yeah, I'm just like, I just told him fuck off, and I told the drill instructor. I think anything ever came out of it. I think he got IT'd a little bit. He probably didn't like me at all. But hey, don't jack off in the bathroom when you know there's fire watch that checks it consistently. Like he was probably. He might have been on some. I don't know. In what mind, what right mind of a person would you go into the bathroom with that you know gets regularly checked and go beat your meat, and when there's nowhere to hide? It's just fucking weird. I don't know. How the fuck did we get here?
I don't know. Oh, you were reminiscing something to do with the episode.
Oh, steamy love. Yeah, that there was no. You could argue it whether it was love or steamy, maybe a little bit of both, but I wasn't having any of it. But there you go. There's my tale of steamy love, Sean. I'm glad. I hope you're happy. I had to share with everybody. It was your fault that it came out, but here we are. People did stupid shit, bro. I remember one dude got caught stealing peanut butter from mess. Like, why? Why the fuck? They had him in his pillowcase. He just snack on peanut butter packets. They're like a ketchup packet, Sean. Like a little ketchup packet. Just that, but filled with peanut butter. And he just snack on it at night. And the fucking, one of the DIs caught him and fucking yelled at him. Like, why the fuck would you do that? People are so dumb in boot camp, bro. I don't even know what to talk about. But yeah, so let's do that one. Tales of the Perverse. That'll be our final submission here. Oh, you got it, Sean. Episode 26, Tales of the Perverse. See, now I want to also know what a Massachusetts Serpley is. So he has a little bit more here on the end before we... I don't think we'll cover news. There's nothing really... I mean, we can talk a little bit about Kingdom Hearts 4, and then we'll wrap it up. But he said, I was going to have a bonus round, but unfortunately my fellow rat brother failed me. But we will come back once again stronger than ever. See, that's what you rats do. You leave each other behind. That's why you'll never amount to anything. Regardless, if you nailed it or failed it, I'd just like to thank the both of you and everyone else that has come and gone throughout the years for the 4 years that have passed since I discovered your existence. As much as I hate the fact that I often can't participate directly in the events due to living in a different time zone, I love the time I've spent in all of your company. I love all the laughs, good times, and laughs, but also the setbacks and overall garbage we've all been through. And of course, the absolute bullshit has been the 2020 so far. Hopefully it's only the start of the decade that is dog shit and it improves, although I'm not getting my fucking hopes up. Anyway, here's to the future of the Thought Patrol podcast. Stay fucking classy, you magnificent bastards. And he basically told me no peeking until we record. So, thank you so much, Alex. As we said last week, we do appreciate all you guys that do tune in and engage with the show. It makes it so much easier to actually produce the content each week when we know people are engaging with it. It means a shitload. The ones that do actively participate, we love you guys. And yeah, hopefully we do get more people that actively engage in the future. We would love to see it grow into something. It means so much that you guys are willing to write stuff and help us create the content yourselves with this things you put effort into. It means the world. It really does. I never would have expected 10 years ago I'd have friends in fucking Sweden and across the world and all that other shit. It's insane. So
yeah, man.
But fuck. Hey, good segue. If you do want to engage with us, join the fucking Discord. We have a lot of fun over here. So real quick, Sean, biggest thing that happened this week, Kingdom Hearts 4. It got announced fucking yes, Daedalus, thank you, sir. Indeed, so much fun. They had a trailer. Looked interesting. It's some area called Quadratus or some shit. Sora's new design. I like it. I personally like Sora's new design. We were talking to Sam earlier. He did say it looked a little bit like serious. One interesting thing is, like, a lot of the time with this kind of shit. That's usually because they're reflecting the areas they're in. So they'll look like the world they're in. So it may be like this is a serious world, but we may go to other places. Maybe some other Disney properties or newer worlds that have come about. Because there's still a lot of places we haven't been that are Disney properties or some of the newer areas. Like I think Sam was saying like a Coco area. I think that'd be kind of cool. Like a Dia de los Muertos area or whatever. Is that how you say it? Or am I dumb? Something like that. Day of the Dead kind of area. Yeah. That'd be kind of fucking cool. Seeing a Sora design reflected of that. Some of the new Pixar area or some of the new Pixar movies that we haven't seen. I don't think they ever did like Nemo and shit like that, right? Or something like that. I don't fucking know. They still have a lot of areas they could make that aren't necessarily like the new shit Disney has. Like, I don't want a Star Wars world, please, for love of God. Don't need a Star Wars world. Some people have talked about Marvel too, because Disney's also acquired that. Don't need that either. But like when I was talking with Sean about it, you mentioned obviously like the animated stuff. We still have
just like stick to the animated stuff. Stay away from the live action properties.
Yeah.
Just like the Pixar, the Disney animated, the 2D stuff. Stick with that.
I think it'd be cool if they went like all the way back and did like properties. I don't know how easy it would be, obviously, because the thing with Kingdom Hearts is it's a very difficult... The idea by nature is very difficult to create for because you're crossing so many boundaries, moving between two companies and... I'm sure it's gotten a lot harder now than it was in the past with copyright laws and all this other shit, all these permissions that they have to obtain in order to use likeness of characters. But it'd be really cool if maybe they did some lesser known Disney stuff that's older, like much older. So like stuff around the time of like the early Mickey Mouse cartoons and shit like that, and characters we haven't seen a lot of. That'd be interesting too, something like that. I don't know how much they'd be willing to do that, considering a lot of the reason they do this stuff is because there's fans that love Mickey Mouse and or not Mickey Mouse, but like I don't know what the most popular Kingdom Hearts world was. I really like the what's the one from 2? Oh god, it might have also been in 1, I'm not too sure. The one with Mr. Skellington guy. Holy shit, I'm
drawing. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas. I love that world. Fucking dope. But
it was really good.
Yeah.
The only thing that got me with the early games is how shitty the controls were. Like back then, you didn't really have anything better. They were still figuring stuff out. But
I think two felt
a lot.
Yeah, I think two felt good. I think two. I think a lot of people like one more for like the stuff they did in one. But I think two, when it came to like the gameplay and overall presentation, was probably the better experience. But yeah, and then they have, like, I've only played a part of 1 and most of 2, and I played half of 3. I didn't know what the fuck was going on in 3, and it wasn't all that good, in my opinion.
He knows what the fuck is going on in any of them anymore, unless they're, like, diehard. Like, when I bought the game, I was in their early 20s, and other kids were getting into it because they were in, like, middle school or elementary school and shit. Like, and a lot of people got into it years after it came out on re-releases, and they're like, fuck yeah, and it became like this emo crowd champion fucking game. Don't know why, but it just did. and they're like, they live, breathe, eat, sleep the fucking plot. But to be fair, I understand Final Fantasy storylines, and other people have no fucking idea. Like, they're like, yeah, the 7 was about the cloud guy, and you know, he beat Sephiroth, and nobody has any idea the actual backstory or the lore or how it all fits together. So Square has a knack for writing obtusely overly complicated stories for no particular reason. Like, I could rewrite Final Fantasy 7, have the same amount of depth, and not have the head scratchingly strange fucking way of weaving everything together and making it all overly complicated. Then stories within stories within stories, but that's what they do. So
yeah.
Kingdom Hearts was simple, and then Kingdom Hearts 2 added like 4 layers, and then the 5 million spinoffs that were stuck in between and on top of and off to the side and whatnot just absolutely knotted everything up to all hell.
Yeah.
and they promised up and down that it was going to get simpler and it wasn't going to be like their other games, but they did not stick by that promise.
Yeah, man. You can't just always kill God. I got to know why I'm killing different gods and stuff, right? So, thanks, Square. Yeah, I'm excited. The trailer they showed looks cool. Music was great. I like the redesign of Sora. The world looks really good. I'm assuming, because they showed off a lot of the technical aspect, the graphical fidelity in the trailer itself, like what the world looked like. I'm assuming they plan to do it in Unreal Engine 5, which is actually really exciting because we have not really seen any major projects built entirely on UE5 yet. And UE5 seems to have a shitload of promise for game development. So I'm super excited to see that, if that is the case. It may still be in Unreal Engine 4. You never know. We don't know how long they take to make these fucking things. We saw what happened with 3. So this game could have... We don't fucking know. This game might not come out till 2077. We don't fucking know. So I'm excited to see it. I know they also talked about, I think the new Witcher game was also going to be in Unreal Engine 5 too. They switched over to that engine instead of using their proprietary one. So I'm interested to see how that turns out too. Because I think that Unreal Engine 5 could really, really push the boundaries when it comes to just overall graphical fidelity. I'm interested to see what people do with it. So should be cool. Game looks great. I was very surprised they showed what seemed to be gameplay. It was heavily scripted, so we didn't see them just like running around in circles. It was all scripted as fuck. So they literally could have just smacked a UI onto the scripted sequence to make it look like gameplay. I have no clue. But it looked great. We really didn't see a whole lot. Organization 13 still around. Of course they fucking are. They're never going to go away. Sora's still there, obviously. We saw Donald and fucking Goofy. Jesus Christ. Also weird, it was in Japanese. I'm not comfortable hearing Japanese Goofy. He freaks me out. But I guess the same could be said for Japanese people hearing English Goofy. I don't know. But it sounds foreign to me. It freaks me out. And I don't know where the fuck they were. I really don't know what the hell happened at the end of 3. I know they added like DLC to quote-unquote wrap it up further. I don't know what the fuck's going on at all. But if it comes out and people are liking it, I might pick it up. Just because I like the idea of Kingdom Hearts and I've always enjoyed it. So, yeah, definitely looks cool. I don't really got anything else much to say on it, though. What about you, Sean? You got anything else, or should we wrap this?
I just don't care anymore. It's too much work to get into Kingdom Hearts now.
Definitely.
To get anything out of it. So I just, I don't care.
Yeah, if it plays fun and I see characters I like, I could treat it as a popcorn experience. But I can understand that, like, there's a lot of shit going on that makes no fucking sense. It's like jumping in at the end of... It's like, it'd be like... I don't know, picking up an MMO at the most recent expansion that's trying to tell a story. You just don't know what the fuck's going on. So I could see that being a little frustrating, especially when a lot of the times they tell or add all this shit in like their Microwave 3 version of the game that's like Kingdom Hearts 4.5 times the sign of 35 and shit like that. Like it's so fucking much to stay connected. So I could get that. When people are saying it's fun, I can treat it as a good popcorn game. I'm good at shutting my brain off. I know you guys know that. All you gotta do is listen to me talk for a couple minutes. Real easy. I do a good job at it. But yeah, that's about it. There's nothing major else going on. Everyone's just been playing Elden Ring. That's all I've heard about for the last 2 months is everyone playing Elden Ring. So it's been a good time. But yeah, that was pretty much all we got for this week's episode. We appreciate you all for tuning in, as always. Sean, I think someone's asking something about a specific shade of body part. I'm not too sure what they're saying.
Shade of body
part. Pacific shade of body part.
Pacific? It's fucking aquatic now?
No. Did I say Pacific? I meant to say specific.
You sure as fuck did.
Well, hey, you know what I say? Nothing. Let's go. Oh my fucking god. I don't want to talk about it. It's been a long day. Do you really not understand what I was referring to?
I don't know. I understood what you were referring to.
Okay. Just making sure. I'm looking for a fact, so you're wasting good time here.
All right, I'm ready. Sean, hit them with it. They need it. They crave it. It's their crack, their cocaine, their drug.
I don't see a question.
Bruh, your outro, Sean.
Oh, I thought you said this. He was asking a question. Okay, yeah. We're good.
I think we're good. I have a headache. Okay. But before we go, let someone know you love them. They appreciate them. We're going to wrap things up. And I'm going to tell you a fact. One that I just Googled. And hopefully, you'll learn something new. Something you can share with your family. That's what you do. You tell them first that you appreciate them, then you drop this banger on them. Ketchup was sold in the 1830s as medicine.